big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Rotatoes, we're so close, so nearly at the end of this arc. It is time for episode 6, part 2. I hope that you've had a great time. I hope that you are ready for me to once again plug Force of Extinction. This is the TTRPG that was created by me, the wonderful Edward Spence and Chad Pytel, produced by 12 Side Studios. We have been working so unbelievably freaking hard on this, and we are really quite excited to bring it to you. I can't wait, and I hope that you are super ready for it to come out. Please, if you haven't already, go and check out the Backkit page. It might even be launched by now. I'm just sort of recording this in the past, so you see, so I'm not sort of 100% sure on timelines, but there is a healthy chance that it is live right now, and if that is the case, then please go check it out, and if you can, and if you want to, and if you'd like to get your hands on a brand new TTRPG that you can start playing in under half an hour, created by a completely independent company of whom you would be benefiting, then please go and check out Force of Extinction on Backkit right now. That's it from me. Thank you so much. Take it away, past me. So as you try to, is it bridge? I can't remember when the Jaeger pilots
drift compatible. There we go.
Drift. Okay. So you need to try and drift with Brian. Who knows what you will see if you were to meld minds with this degenerate robot. So we will roll initiative just for the purposes of establishing a turn order, and I'm going to look for a number of successes in the next two rounds that we are going to do the skills challenge.
17.
13 initiative.
14.
And then things will happen on initiative 10 and initiative 20. So on initiative 20, you now see a horde of monstrous metallic creatures, some of which you see very clearly have taken on the life forms of other more organic looking creatures, like the monkeys from earlier. This area of Sim seems to be very densely metal, but you know that there are areas where essentially the jungle meets the parts of metal, and it's a more of a cohabitation. This is a very aggressively like Emrium centered area, basically. And as you see these creatures kind of emerging from the tree line towards you, there are a lot of them now who have kind of almost gone through a strange version of evolution where they are taking on forms that shouldn't be possible. They don't look right. They've got arms in the wrong place and eyes where they shouldn't be, mouths on the ends of their feet, things like that.
Oh.
You see essentially what is Sid's toy shop in metal form. As they all come lumbering towards you, I'm going to need you, Big Brian, to please make me a strength saving throw, as these creatures are not big, but there are many as they try to hoard essentially and crawl up your legs.
With my mighty strength of 20, I roll a 7.
You can feel as Big Brian is already beginning to slow down, as almost like a zombie movie featuring Brad Pitt, these things just start swarming up the legs of Big Brian, and it's very much slowing him down. We are going to move now to Ember's turn. But that is a fail, just to be clear. That is a one failure.
Okay, so I plug in.
Love it. You pull a wire out of like your pocket and plug it into, right, it doesn't do anything, but for the sake of our visuals.
Yeah, but it feels good.
We're all imagining now that you're drifting with Big Brian's mind.
To control this right arm, I am going to, because the way that I think is more dexterity based movement, you know, And I know that this is a big old thing, but if I just focus in on the controls and movements of this arm...
A little PlayStation controller, like, pops out of the arm for you.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I'm good at. I want to basically have it do some, like, extremely fast jazz hands so that it creates vibrations that just, like, woof, like, push away these creatures. You know, like, we're going so fast as to make, like...
We'll say that you're on the right arm. We'll say that you're making the arm essentially be like an electric toothbrush, which is going to vibrate so fast, and it will sort of rid the... We'll say you're essentially attempting to rid the right leg of the creatures that are acting almost like barnacles on the side of Big Ship Brian. Go ahead and make me... we'll say... Did you have a thing in mind? Were you imagining sleight of hand here, or...?
I was thinking sleight of hand, because I feel like this is like some major joystick movement.
Yeah, I'll accept a sleight of hand here. As Brian, your hand just starts vibrating wildly.
25.
That absolutely works, as you essentially turn into, if everyone's played Soul Calibur, Voldo hands. As they just start spinning furiously, and you manage to lay waste to a bunch of these creatures that are currently climbing up Brian's legs, and a couple of them that were getting pretty close to you, Ember. So, with that, we have one success and one failure. Sprocket, over to you.
I'm looking at my first level spells, because that's all I've got left, trying to work out what would be good, and I'm not coming up with much.
You can also do something like a perception check to, like, guide Brian the right way. You can use, you know, all that kind of stuff as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll go on nav.
Love it.
I, like, yeah, wheel myself over to that.
You plug yourself into the little gap in Brian's brain and start putting some coordinates in.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
We're each on, like, a lazy boy type chair.
Just zipping around Big Brian's body.
A 14.
14. That is a success.
Yes!
As you just hit the benchmark for that success, but you do manage to guide Brian away from, like, a massive, like, canyon that they were about to step in, which would, you know, have presented a problem, maybe lodging a leg or something in there, and you scooch him past that and around. Brian very much was heading in one direction only, wasn't really looking for any potential hazards in the way. But speaking of, Brian, what about you?
As all of these creatures are crawling over Brian, you all hear Brian just say, "I think they're accepting me as one of their own," as he's just continuing on through the jungle. I think as they're beginning to intensify and their attentions are becoming a little more bitey, I think Brian is gonna just like it, is just gonna try and speed towards the ziggurat.
Okay, so I'm guessing this is probably gonna be like athletics.
11.
You, I think, still getting used to this body, maybe suddenly realize that you're using up, like, a little too much fuel. Like, you're essentially, like, trying to push yourself that little too hard as you actually start to slow down. So that is going to be two failures and two successes after round one.
This feels too important. I'm going to use my reaction to do Flash of Genius and bump that up to a 16.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You manage to subconsciously divert energy away from unessential services that are currently... You realize that you have, like, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a disco ball inside your chest, which is for some reason still going.
Don't shut that one down.
You've got, like, a bunch of things going on that you just don't actually need to be going on right now, and so you divert all power to legs. Currently, the left arm is just so floppy. Just sort of swinging there. With that means now three successes and one failure, which is very important into our final round, as you're about halfway towards the ziggurat now. It is at this point that from a little distance away, you see a huge, similarly sized gorilla.
Oh, fuck.
starts pounding its chest as it locks eyes onto Brian, finally seeing another alpha. No, I can't make... That's too many. That's too much for King Kong reference. but essentially seeing Brian and thinking, I want to tackle that.
Wait, similar size?
Yes. Probably bigger, actually. Probably a little bit bigger than...
Cool.
Bigger than we listen, there's no universe where I could have given you access to giant fighty robot and not given you a kaiju to fight. Like, that would have been upsetting, I think, for everyone. So, this creature is going to roll. And I have been rolling, like, complete and utter trash today as I roll a 5 and it misses.
Nice.
Wow.
This thing is kind of, I will say essentially that you are just like, you stay on course and this thing is like trying to kind of bound up and catch you. And it may still catch you because it will have one last attempt on initiative 10. We'll see how we've done by then, as Ember, it's your turn.
I might want to try something a little cheeky. Ember's intelligence -1, right?
Mm, true. Correct, yes.
So she heard continuum timey-wimey stuff is in my body. Surely I can use that.
Okay.
And you don't even have to tell me if it's possible, because this is what I'm going to do. And if it doesn't work, that's just... We should just live in life.
I'm so excited, because never before has a nat 20 been so called that it's coming. Like, I know that whatever you're about to say that you want to do, a nat 20 will arrive soon afterwards.
This creature that, like, was trying to reach, I would, like, Ember will just jump off of Brian to go strike it down. And ideally, like, after striking it, use whatever time stuff to, like, port herself back to his shoulder.
What?
She's gonna try.
That's so cool.
That's so good.
That is so cool, and I'm gonna be so pissed if this is the one.
If it doesn't work, yeah.
And Ember just gets eaten by this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is a big roll, because, well, we'll see what happens. I'm gonna say roll me an attack. And then what I'm going to do is ask you to roll me an insight check on yourself.
Ooh.
To essentially, like, listen to this new part of your body and see if you can figure out how to make it do stuff.
Yeah, okay. All right, so first the roll to hit, let's see, with the scimitar, this, like, flaming scimitar, is a 26.
That misses. No, I'm joking.
Oh, imagine.
I will be honest, though. The stat block I do have for this thing is disgusting. And so it doesn't hit by a lot, which it should hit by more. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Do we feel like... I mean, it's got to be adjacent to my other allies, right? Is this a sneak attack?
That's cheeky, but I'll go with it. Yes.
Wait, they're adjacent. I was on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Did he see this coming?
Fine. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say yes, it is. But also, this creature is just a little bit closer than maybe it was in my head before, you know?
Oh, really?
Because if you're jumping off of the back of Brian onto this thing, it's a little closer than I had it in my head. But that's fine. I'm more than happy for that to be the case.
I thought he was reaching distance, because I thought he was trying to reach.
No.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you...
You want this.
Teleporting him. Okay, so damage-wise, it's 32.
Wow, that's a hit.
6 of it was fire damage. A bunch of the rest of it was sneak attack. And so she comes down with this, like, flaming sword into this, what is it, gorilla?
Yes, this giant metallic gorilla.
Leave my friends alone! And as she does that, there's this echo as wails from the grave, like, activate for some of these other critters. I don't know, just one of these other ones on the
leg.
We'll
say a bunch of them just, like, peel off. Yeah.
Sure. But there's this echo, and it's this, like, shape of this pale elven, white-haired, icy sort of shape that says, "Stay away from my friends," and slices down on a few of those guys on the left, and then disappears.
As we see an echo of Tundra appear and lend a hand in this moment. Extremely cool.
And then I'm totally not going to just be on a gorilla.
Because you just stabbed this thing right between the eyes, done quite a lot of damage. And let me tell you, this thing, it sucks if it hits you.
I know, you just said a 26 barely hit.
This is a huge roll, because if this doesn't work, it's going to Hulk versus Loki you. But even bigger scale, because the Hulk in this situation is like 20 times bigger than you.
So this is insight.
This is insight on yourself.
Here we go.
The world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the Evopocalypse when the game launches this June on Backerkit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
That is a 25. 16 plus 9? 25.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. You watch as Sprocket, without saying anything, which is kind of honestly Ember's, like Ember's thing, to just do cool stuff and say stuff, like, you know, say things, something afterwards, just dives off of the back of Brian, hurtles through the air, and as... it looks as though they're about to get like caught up in like trees and the canopy. This huge gorilla sort of charging towards you, about to like snap and bite at the Achilles of Big Brian, just lands this thunderous noise into like right between the eyes of this creature, causing it a lot of pain. You then see like spectral versions of Tundra appearing and start slashing at some of the other creatures, and then you watch as almost reflexively this hand gets raised into the air, the wrist twists, and you see her whole body vanish from that one point into this like shimmer of gold, and then reappear, but almost doing the reverse of the jump motion, like back onto Brian.
Whoa.
Oh my. Oh, thank the gods that worked.
And as you now look at Ember, you can see these golden cracks all the way up the chest and even appearing up part of the neck.
Was that Tundra?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. I never really had a chance then. And I'm going to firebolt the gorilla.
Incredible. Please go ahead and make me an attack roll.
Dirty 20.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You cast a firebolt down, and I think it's maybe in this moment of realization that your aim is just ever so slightly off, as that doesn't hit this thing.
Fuck.
Yeah, I told you this thing's crazy.
I'll put my 2d10 down then.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Never mind.
So we now find ourselves at 4 successes and 2 failures. Brian, You watch this firebolt go off. You don't actually, you have no idea what's going on behind you. You just know it was cool.
How far away is the ziggurat from us now?
You feel like if you were to push yourself in this moment, you could get there pretty quickly. And you might need to, because thanks to a little bit of imagination reorganization, it's a little closer to you than you previously thought, this creature behind you.
I'm going to scoop up both Ember and Sprocket. And I'm going to do two things at once. The first thing is, I'm going to ball them up like a baseball, and I am just going to pitch them both in the direction of the ziggurat.
You fucker.
This is sick. Okay.
I hope this is how we die.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, well, then Brian's going to turn around and fight this thing, get absolutely wailed on, and you're going to be smudges on the side of a ziggurat. This is perfect.
The thing is, I've got to thread the needle. I've got to roll
yes,
well enough that
you
I
really
throw
do.
Them. But if I roll too well...
Because I need to let you know, if you roll a nat 20 right now, it is going to be so bad for these guys. Because if you go full... Again, not to make another Attack on Titan reference, but if you've seen the bowling episode, you know yes. what I'm talking about. It's bad, guys.
Oh my god.
Okay. So, what do you want me to roll?
This is athletics. Just this is pure strength, baby.
No change up, no curveball, nothing but fucking no. gas.
Put some stank on it. Put some mustard on it.
That is a 19.
Oh my god.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high. Okay. So here's the thing. So you launch your friends. We'll find out what happens to them in a minute. What does Brian then do?
The second thing that he does, as he has been pooling the two of them into this ball to throw them, all of the embryum from inside this creature, as they are leaving the fist of this giant robot, begin to descend and implement themselves into the hips of Brian, one that is around Ember's neck.
Oh.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to ask for then. I'm going to need a sleight of hand check. Your dex is a minus one. You'll keep the minus one, but it's going to be a flat roll, not with disadvantage, because there's a world where this could have been with disadvantage, because it's essentially just like the embryo trying to leave your body.
You're like downloading yourself back into your legs?
Yeah.
It's a natural part!
Yes!
No
yes!
Fucking way.
Freaking believable.
I need to take a photo of this.
It's so good that that came now, because I promise you I was like, I'm not saying I would have killed them, but it wouldn't have been far off if you'd have rolled a natural 20 trying to bowl them across of like a like 100 yard gap from a gargantuan robot. I will say this, as you guys are flying through the air, time starts to begin to slow as you see this world of chaos around you swirling, the trees and leaves kind of swaying and under this like thunderous sounds and winds that are happening, these monsters and creatures kind of jumping up from the canopy onto this large metallic body that was the home for Brian for so long, as you watch now this huge gorilla monster leap on top of that body, plant its teeth like around the skull of it and just clean rip the head straight off. And just in case anyone was wondering, it was going to roll 20d6 on a hit.
20?
That's too many dice, mate.
And that is one of its attack.
Oh, wow.
I gave you giant mecha Brian, okay?
Yeah.
That was
okay,
very kind
of
me.
It was a kind and lovely thing I did there.
It was a kind of lovely thing I did. So, now to resolve this situation. Brian, you regain consciousness at a point that you don't want to regain consciousness, as you can see the ziggurat now approaching at speed.
Oh, put me back, put me back, put me back!
The Embryum sort of tries to build a bridge back to the body and then sees the head get bitten off and just starts to retract. Like,
so we're all just hurtling, right?
You are hurtling. We are going to do, each of you are going to roll me a dexterity saving throw at disadvantage, because this is a truly ridiculous scenario that you have been plunged into.
Are Brian's legs still wrapped around me or my neck?
Yeah, potentially. Oh boy, that's not some happy faces. I'm seeing two unhappy faces.
I got a dirty 20. But y'all don't look happy, so I assume.
So I rolled 2 3s. So that is a 6 for me.
Natural 1.
Okay, here's how this is going to work. Ember, you are going to take 15 points of bludgeoning damage as you crash into the side of the ziggurat, but manage to steady and catch yourself.
Will you act like I have 15 hit points?
You do not have 15 hit points?
No! Wait. Would this count as something evasion could have?
Yes, 100%. Okay.
Okay.
That's huge.
Oh.
That is, I was literally, I'm not kidding, I was like, I think that's a TPK. Like, I think that's it. Yes, no, evasion absolutely would work.
I don't have 15 hit points.
On anything you make a saving throw,
a dex save throw.
Yeah, so you get to halve that again.
Okay, so that's 7?
Yes.
I'm still alive, but ouchie.
You crash into the ground, you go skidding across, like, into the mouth of the ziggurat, and essentially land in, like, a heap of rubble and blood and sweat.
Oh my god.
As you kind of, through, like, beleaguered, kind of blinking eyes, the dust in front of you, you can then see, I'm assuming...
This is going to be so much therapy that she'll need after watching whatever's about to happen.
Can I use my Flash of Genius to add 5 to Sprocket's roll as this pair of legs flings itself off Ember's neck to try and cushion the blow, admittedly with metal hips, but tries to cushion the blow for Sprocket. So it's not a 1.
Here's what I'll say. Brian, you will be taking 31 points of damage. How are you looking after taking 31 points of damage? Given that you were at half, because you're back down, you're back at half capacity because you're only legs.
That would be double the amount of hit points that I currently have.
No!
But not double your max, so you're fine.
No, not double my max.
Oh.
It's not double your max, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, with a nat 1, the total damage that was going to be done to Sprocket was going to be 72 points of damage.
Which is not double my max.
Okay.
So, I will say, because what I was going to do is, because of the amount of damage, is have Sprocket have failed, basically start on some failed death saves, assuming that you go down under 70 points of damage. So what I will do is I will allow your Flash of Genius basically to negate the auto-failed death saves.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Fucking, did I just hear a you're welcome from you, Jasper?
Yeah. Ember, you see, as you come to, there is on a little plinth a hovering, swirling little blob of embryum. And just beyond it, there lies a door, which looks a lot like the door to Hubert's office.
Okay.
So, with the order that you choose to do things in here is very important.
Okay.
We're going to stay in initiative here because essentially in between each of your rounds, they will be rolling death saving throws.
I just don't know that I really understand what Embryum does, but I know that we need to collect it. right? That's like part of the...
Yes. Basically, you need to get it out of this area that you're currently in. That's like the key here. Is getting essentially that embryum through that door.
Oh my god, both my friends are knocked out. Sprocket just took 70 damage, so I assume I just watched a terrible, horrible amount of damage happen.
Truly.
And so, like, that looks the most severe, so I run over to Sprocket, and I'm going to, if you'll let me, having just kind of knowing that the risk of, like, this spreading across Ember as she uses it, try to use this, these gold splits again to try and bring Sprocket back, because...
You do not sacrifice yourself for me, you little shit!
I asked him...
You are not in this scene, Johnny Chiodini!
Because, you know, I asked Sprocket to do something with... what's left of me, if this is it, I don't know, but I have to do something.
Okay.
He has to be able to continue what I came here for.
I'm going to ask you then to make me another insight check.
25.
So, here's what happens. You do that same motion where you twist the wrist, but this time, instead of having this magic affect you, you have it affect the world around you as you watch this crumpled mess of Brian and Sprocket essentially start and fly back kind of in the direction that they came. You can essentially go and try to catch them. The caveat here is, if you fail, you are also going to take damage. Because at least one of these guys is made of metal, and the other one has at least a singular horn right now.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you for... I'm going to say this is a dexterity saving throw, and this DC is going to be a 21.
Okay. come on.
And I'll be generous, and I'll give you advantage because you've used your... because you essentially know what's about to happen. Like, you've already seen it happen once. You do have a prior knowledge of, like, roughly where they are going to be, like, ending.
Okay. So I need to roll 14 or higher.
Well, that could be worse.
Oh, my God. Okay. There's a nat 1.
Oh!
And a 16. So 23...
I'm assuming this is the vibe, but please tell me if I'm wrong here, Sprocket. There's definitely been some feelings about Ember, I feel, potentially.
Yeah.
If there was ever a thing that would confirm those feelings, it is you hurtle towards this ziggurat at a rate, a speed unlike any that you have traveled before, especially without any way of slowing yourself down. You then watch... as next to you, Ember disappears, and then the next thing you know, catches you in her arms and is glowing gold. As she...
I got you.
You crash into her, these legs kind of looped around you, looking up at this sort of iridescent kind of sort of auburn-haired elf with these quite beautiful cracks of gold appearing all the way across her face.
What are you doing, you daft sod?
We gotta work fast, we gotta work fast.
You saved my ass!
So, somehow, you are all still up. There is a horde of these creatures on their way to your location right now. What do you guys do?
I already took my turn.
Yeah.
Just, I'm out.
Y'all fix this. Y'all fix it.
Let's cheese it.
Okay. Who is going to grab the embryum and who is making, and like, is anyone going specifically for the door?
I think Brian is immediately just going to run, because it's all he can do, over towards the plinth, and just a little kind of lid opens on top of his hips, and he just scoops up the embryum just into his pelvic floor and just turns around to the rest of you.
I can't wait for the fact that I've got at some point commission artwork for this, and I'm going to have to make a choice between whether we go with full Brian or just Brian's just Brian's legs.
One's easier, right?
One is half the cost of the other, so that's how it works, right? I explained to the artist. So you scoop up the embryum. Who is going for the door?
I'll go for the door.
You make your way over to this door as you now see, like something out of Alien versus Predator, there is a swarm of these monsters climbing up the side of the ziggurat towards you as you throw the door open, and the three of you bundle through into and back onto the deck of the Silverhawk.
I shut the door behind us.
You shut the door behind you. A very important clarification. As you go to shut the door, however, Sprocket, I'm going to need one more check from you, because as you go to shut the door, there is a metal horn stuck in the frame of the door and is stopping you from closing it all the way. So I'm going to need an athletics check to essentially close the door or remove your horn that is currently stuck in the doorway, and essentially like acting like a little doorstop and like stopping you. And you can see monsters like starting to throw themselves at this doorway.
Oh my god.
Okay, I've got advantage on this. 9 in total.
I'm going to use my final flash of genius to add 5 to the roll as Brian just turns and kicks Sprocket in the face to get him away from the door.
Well, I'll let you do this. If you want, I'll let you use your flash of genius to just boot the horn.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sprocket. Just roll me a straight d20 and we're going to see what direction your horn flies in.
3.
You see that horn disappears back inside the simulation as you close the door. As essentially Brian comes over, kicks the horn out of the way, meaning that you can slam the door shut, but your horn, sadly, has disappeared inside the simulation.
Monohorn it is, I guess. No sticking that back on.
So, as you emerge back onto the ship, you can see pandemonium around you as the crew of the Silverhawk currently is engaged in a fight against a leviathan that has been circling and crashing into the ship. You, as you look out, see there appears to be an individual, quite a tall individual, riding on the back of this leviathan with some spear in their hand, kind of repeatedly kind of sinking it into the head of this creature. This huge, like, Big Brian was big. This thing is like unfathomably big. And I think you realize now the source of that purple cracks in the sky was this leviathan attacking the outside of the ship. However, as you emerge back out now, having now removed all of the pieces of the embryum, you watch as this leviathan begins to fade away. As do a number of people on the ship. As you look around and realize, actually, there's a lot more crew that are on this ship right now than there should be. And you realize that there is a number of illusions happening and strange, weird kind of glitches that these simulations have been causing, as slowly everything returns back to some normality. The damage is still there. Those that have been hurt are still hurt. But the Silverhawk, crucially, is safe.
I start writing up my invoice. Right. Okay. I'm billing time and a half for this shit, honestly.
A large hand goes on your shoulder, Sprocket, as Hubert, wide-eyed, this massive hippo man, just looks at you and Yes, I think that's totally fine.
Good.
That was quite something. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here.
Are you all right?
We nearly, I think we nearly lost the ship, but I think we'll... It's in a state of disrepair, but probably enough for us to get it limp back to some port of some kind. Fortunately, this gentleman showed up. And you see this huge kind of hulking man. He's got a big kind of like open vest shirt with big thick boots, kind of like a warrior's knot. Look like a very kind of like stern looking individual appears. And you see now, looking closer, that this spear, he kind of twirls it around, and like it seems to shift in form a few times as he kind of lands on the ship and is...
Ah, hey, how are you doing? I, a pleasure to meet you. I am Vane Morrigill. Hunting leviathans is what I do. You all look like you've been through something rather traumatic. Sorry I couldn't get that done sooner. I appreciate you turning up when you did. That thing was giving even me a run for my money.
You got a real smooth entrance there, partner. Some slick moves. I'll have to take a note or two.
Brian, I don't like him.
Brian's on-off switch turns up.
Oh, my God.
You do see, however... on this gentleman that emerging from this kind of open V'd top is a number of golden cracks.
I happen to notice that you, is this, should I be worried or?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's exactly the answer I was hoping for.
Oh, no, but I mean, I think... You know, I guess it just depends what you think happens in the end. I should have asked that first, maybe.
Okay, well, if it's all the same to you, I'm going to go and have a sit down.
I, for what it's worth, I think you got a little more time.
Thank you, that's good. Great.
Well, speaking of time, and he sort of, like, cocks his hips... sort of looking at you. What are we going to do about all of these cracks on you?
I really don't know what there is to do. I feel like, I'll be honest, I didn't even try to come here, but I've really only had one real goal. I'm okay with not going back. I'm okay with not going back, I guess is what I'm saying, because in my world, Tundra's gone, and she's still here. And if I can't, if this version of me can't be here with her, can't stay, I don't know. I trust that one of you is going to be able to figure out what to do with all of this.
Well, we'll try, won't we?
Yeah. We're here.
In the meantime, I mean, might as well just have some fun until sun doesn't rise no more.
Yep. I'm buying.
Oh, come on. It's gonna be all right. Y'all have such full, wonderful souls. It's been great to get to be a part of that, even if that isn't, you know, what I didn't know what I would encounter. It's not right for me to be here anyway.
That's easy for you to say.
You watch as the ship begins to wheel around, making its way back towards Anvil and nearest port to get repairs. And as it does so, you see... the sun, Vega, just appear round the side of this huge planet that you're still not super far away from. And light just starts to cascade across the deck as the three of you find yourself sort of up near the front of the ship, having this conversation. And can I please ask for one more roll from my Arc 2 rotators? Could you all please roll me a perception check?
9.
2.
21.
So you watch as Sprocket and Brian, distracted, maybe a little upset, sort of start drifting off and looking in different directions as you place one hand on Sprocket's head, sort of turn it to look in a direction, and you go to place a hand on the torso and like the legs and maybe think otherwise of it, but just sort of generally kind of nudge this pair of legs. The fact that you're just a pair of legs right now is like a sort of silhouetted by the sun is like such a perfect final image for this arc. You look out at the stars, and Ember, you spot it first. There is this bolt, this streak of pure gold across the sky. And you watch as that streak disappears, reemerges from earlier in its trail, and starts to head off in a slightly different direction. And with a 21, I will say that you realize that this is not some figment of your imagination, not some illusion, and it's not a simple comet or a chunk of inanimate space debris. This appears to be an individual, completely gold, and harnessing all of this power. And that's where we're going to go ahead and end Arc 2 of the Rotate the Heroes podcast.
What? Oh my god.
Woo.
That was great, guys.
Beautiful stuff.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
That was great and wild, and I cannot believe that you survived. We're going to go and talk about that in the Arc Bark, because boy, oh boy, what a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
But before we go ahead and do that, one last time, I want to say a huge thank you to my rotators for this arc. You have all been brand new players to the world of Rotating Heroes, and you have been absolutely fantastic and brought so much heart and fun and love to the world, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much. And before we go ahead and get out of here, why don't you tell everyone where people can find you on the Tinterwebs. Johnny, why don't we start with you?
If you want to watch me, you can go to youtube.com/Johnny Chiodini. If you want to pay me, you can go to patreon.com/Johnny Chiodini. And if you wish to summon me, get a large box, prop it up with a stick, tie string to the stick, and then pop some Port Salut cheese in the box. And you'll catch me as sure as anything.
I love it. And you can also watch Johnny and I performing together at we did a recording at World's Lair.
Oh yeah,
It was a ton of fun. So if you enjoyed the Rotating Heroes show that we just put out, then you can check that out. We played Mimics, and it was complete and utter chaos. I loved it so much.
It was ridiculous.
It was very, very silly.
Someone on Instagram said, I'm a teacher, and I would never let these two sit next to each other, referring to me and Johnny. But I would always let them play D&D together. It's like, brilliant. That's like absolutely...
That was high praise. I was very pleased with
That's great.
And I can say, having done a shoot with Johnny where the entire shoot was dependent on both of us behaving, it was a struggle.
Fuck.
We were, yeah. There was many a time we found ourselves hiding behind a sofa making very inappropriate jokes. So I can attest to the fact that we would not have done well in school together.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
certainly not. Well, thank you so much, Johnny. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. It's been genuinely such an honor and a privilege.
Josephine McAdam, what you got going on?
I just want to say how much I love you all. These are such great humans, and it's been so nice getting to play, and I'm so sad.
I'm kind of sad, too.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but Jasper, thanks for inviting us into your world.
You are so welcome.
It's been great.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah.
You can find me pretending to be other people basically all the time. You can keep track of that online on socials at JCVIM. You can follow TTRPG work, podcast stuff, and also my acting work in film and
Heck
things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most... Yeah, you were in the movies.
You was in the movies.
Yeah. I made a movie recently. Oh, I didn't make it. That feels like that's more responsibility, but I was in it.
Single-handedly made a whole
movie. If you're in it, you work on it, you get to say you made it. That's fine.
You made it? Okay. Those are the rules.
I think it's implied that people know that it wasn't just you. Yeah. I think you can say you made it. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Josephine, very much. I appreciate being here. Edward Spence, bring it home for us as the arc finishes.
One final time.
Where can we find your full and legal name?
Wait, but what is your legal name?
My legal name, I can finally reveal, is Edward Spence. You can find me everywhere on the internet under my name. I am terrifyingly searchable. But you can find me every Tuesday over on Wounded Warrior Project, where we are rapidly coming to the end of our 3-season Imagined Next Chapter in Middle-earth, The Fourth Age, our award-winning ode to Tolkien's works. Only a few episodes left by the time this comes out. We'll probably be barreling towards our finale. It has been a phenomenal trip, and I will be very sad to see that go as well. But you will also be able to find me at PAX Unplugged, along with the wonderful Jasper William Cartwright. At Modiphius's Fallout panel. But more importantly than all of that, I just want to thank the three of you, and indeed for everyone watching, for providing such a genuine warmth and ray of light every single week. This has been such a delight, and I'm going to miss you immensely.
Ditto.
Aw, you guys, you're so lovely. You should hear all the shit the Arc 1 rotators say about me. I'm gonna stick. You guys can stick around. I'm joking. They're all so wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. This has been such a treat. I've loved getting to play with you all. An absolute dream table. So thank you so much for this. And if you are enjoying this, we've got a brand new Coco Corner merch, which you go check out, because it's just merchandise of a cute little turtle drinking a lot of, like, so much hot chocolate, and it's making them go kind of crazy, and it's freaking adorable. And it's all based off of a joke that Zach Oyama just would not put down. It was absolutely perfect.
Hell yeah.
So go and check that out. Otherwise, I just wanted to quickly plug that over on the 12 Sided Studios Patreon, you can find a little podcast called The Dodecast with myself and Chad Pytel, where we talk about all the stuff that 12 Sided Studios is doing, including a brand new TTRPG that we're working on called Force of Extinction, along with the wonderful Edward Spence. And probably a little bit of a deep dive into our most recent crazy thing that I can't believe is actually happening. And I think it will be out by the time you're listening to this, our adventure into the Stormlight Archives one shot will be out. Is going out on Brandon Sanderson's YouTube, which is crazy. I have like posts that I am now the collaborator on Instagram with Brandon Sanderson, and that's just nuts. That's just wild. So I kind of can't believe that that's happening, but it's extremely cool. So please go and check that out, because we would love to make some more and be able to do cool stuff like that again in the future. So please go check it out. But that's all about it for me and the Arc 2 Rotators. We'll be back next week with the Arc Bark, but until then, remember that... you don't have to be whole to be wonderful, just a pair of rusty old legs.
Aww.
Yippee-i-oh!
Yippee-i-oh!
Yippee-i-oh!